Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average down 23 at 18,529. S&P 500 down 1 at 2182. NASDAQ Composite up 6 at 5,244. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 4 basis points at 1.54%. Oil down $1.71 at $46.81 per barrel. Gold down $2.50 at $13.39.60 per ounce. At the open this morning, the S&P 500 dipped, the VIX spiked, which had many market observers hoping that we'd finally see some volatility, some sign of movement. Of course, that didn't happen. For the past 32 days of trading, the S&P 500 index has not had a day where prices moved more than 1% up or down. Back in 2007, we reached 38 days where there was essentially no movement in the market. Then in July 2014, we reached a 20-year record of 62 days. A little bit of a pause in the market can be a good thing. And the markets respond positively. The market catches its breath and keeps on running. However, when this kind of tight trading range extends beyond 20 days, typically a month's worth of trading sessions, the subsequent returns get worse. And after 2 months' worth of trading in a tight range, the following month is likely to show a decline. An extended tight trading range might indicate that the bulls just don't have the power to push the market higher. We're not there yet, but eventually, this market is going to have to make a move. Until then, the markets are in limbo. Of course, one thing that might move the markets, Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve Vice Chairman Stanley Fisher helped the dollar to begin the week trading stronger against all of its major peers, after he said U.S. economic conditions are close to hitting the central bank's targets. He did that in a speech in Aspen, Colorado, Sunday. This upbeat assessment pushed the currency to a one-week high as traders beef up bets that a rate hike may happen this year. Federal Reserve's annual Jackson Hole Symposium begins on Thursday. This year's theme is Designing Resilient Monetary Policy Frameworks for the Future. Janet Yellen speaks on Friday. What she says in Jackson Hole will be combed for clues about whether the Federal Open Market Committee will raise interest rates at its next meeting in September. Goldman Sachs economist, writing in a research note to clients, said we currently see a subjective 30% probability that the next move is a hike at the September meeting and a 45% probability that there's a hike in December, for a 75% cumulative probability of at least one rate increase this year. We'll see. Pfizer has agreed to acquire Medivation for $14 billion. Pfizer, which is the second largest biopharmaceutical company with a market cap of some $212 billion, would pay about a one-third premium to Medivation's Friday closing price of $67.16. Now, this is a notable premium to the $9.3 billion offer that pharma giant Sanofi made earlier this year. By acquiring Medivation, Pfizer would gain a blockbuster prostate cancer treatment that's already approved for sale in the U.S. and elsewhere, and that analysts project will generate $1.3 billion in annual sales by 2020. Medivation also comes with two experimental products, a drug for breast cancer and another for the blood cancer lymphoma. Still, it seems like a large price to pay for a company with only one approved drug. Of course, Medivation charges a high price for that one drug. Xtandi cost $129,000. That's four times more than in other countries. Xtandi was developed at the University of California, Los Angeles, through taxpayer-supported research grants from the U.S. Army and the National Institute of Health. Yeah. Reuters had reported that several other players, including Gilead and Merck, considered buying Medivation. So presumably, these suitors will seek other targets now that Pfizer has sealed the deal here. The global gas station operator that controls Circle K outlets reached a deal to acquire San Antonio, Texas-based gas station and convenience store chain CST Brands for about $4.4 billion. Quebec-based Alimentation Couche-Tard said it would pay $48.53 per share for CST, which operates more than 2,000 stores in North America. That represents a 42% premium above the price at which CST shares were trading before the company announced back in March that it was considering a sale. Couche-Tard's approximately 12,000 stores worldwide include nearly 7,900 in North America, operating under the Couche-Tard, Circle K, and Ingo brands. It has about 80,000 employees at its stores, fuel businesses, and administrative offices in North America. One of the country's largest newspaper chains offering buyouts to its employees and said most of those workers would have their last day in mid-September. Gatehouse Media, based near Rochester, New York, publishes 125 daily newspapers and more than 600 weekly and business papers in 35 states, made the announcement this past week in a memo to employees. In Arizona, Gatehouse publishes the Arizona Capital Times. No immediate word on the fate of that publication. Meanwhile, the Arizona Capital Times reports a judge has thrown out a bid to keep voters from deciding whether to legalize the recreational use of marijuana in Arizona. The measure would permit any adult to have up to 1 ounce of the drug or 6 plants without fear of prosecution under state law. It also sets up a new state agency to regulate sales, impose new taxes, and enact various provisions. In a ruling Friday, Maricopa County Superior Court Judge JoLynn Gentry said that when state lawmakers altered the election code last year, they eliminated, perhaps inadvertently, the ability of individual citizens to sue to keep initiative measures off the ballot. And she said lawmakers failed to restore that right anywhere else. Gentry wrote, "Whether wittingly or not, the legislatures eliminated a means by which initiative petitions can be challenged." The parent company for Arizona Public Service, Pinnacle West Capital, in its latest filing with the SEC, reported that it had received 2 subpoenas over the summer as part of investigations into the 2014 elections. The FBI and federal prosecutors are investigating campaign donations and financing of the 2014 Arizona Secretary of State's race and Arizona Corporation Commission contest. The subpoenas related to those campaigns and Arizona and Pinnacle West APS executives' communications. APS has been at the center of debates over solar energy policies, and critics contend the utility has funneled undisclosed or dark money to some Corporation Commission candidates. You've heard the story about high rents in Silicon Valley. Well, it might be good news for Arizona. New York Times reports at the end of last year in the Bay Area mega region, including both the San Francisco and San Jose metropolitan areas, there were some 530,000 tech and engineering jobs. That's a 7% increase from a year earlier. Phoenix has about 1/5 as many tech jobs, but the total grew 8% from a year ago, and many of those jobs are coming from the Bay Area. Wages, taxes, and energy cost about 25% less in Phoenix than they do in San Francisco. Housing is much cheaper. The median home price in the Phoenix metropolitan area, right around $221,000, according to Zillow. In San Francisco, runs right around $812,000. A few examples of recent transplants include Weebly, Double Dutch, All Bound, and Gainsight. Of course, these aren't the first companies to migrate from San Francisco to the desert. Intel's been here for quite some time. Still, it bodes well for the local economy. Chris Camacho, chief executive of the Greater Phoenix Economic Council, says better-paying jobs will follow since companies prefer to expand in cities where they already have offices. The leaders of Germany, France, and Italy due to meet on an island off the coast of Naples to discuss how to keep the European project together in the second set of talks between the Eurozone's three largest economies since Britain's vote to leave the EU. Merkel wants to cement a better Europe rather than forge ahead with more Europe. Renzi wants Italy to have a strong voice in how the bloc's future is shaped post-Brexit. And Hollande wants a EU-wide investment plan to be doubled. The Bank of Japan will not rule out lowering negative interest rates even lower. Bank of Japan introduced negative rates in February, and the controversial policy has failed to spur inflation or economic growth. The degree of negative rates introduced by European central banks is bigger than Japan, so technically there is definitely room for a further cut. So says Governor Haruhiko Kuroda to the Sankei newspaper. Iraq, OPEC's second-largest oil producer, plans to boost exports 5% or 150,000 barrels a day over the next few days following a deal to restart shipments from three fields in Kirkuk. Exports were suspended in March due to a payment dispute with Kurdistan, which controls the relevant pipeline. The news doesn't quite square with speculation that OPEC is set for discussions about freezing output. Crude prices move lower today. It's like the Hatfield swapping recipes with the McCoys, or Arizona State University drawing up plays with University of Arizona. Starting next year, the Chevrolet Camaro will share a transmission with the Ford Mustang. Crosstown collaboration between General Motors and Ford was once unfathomable, but cost-cutting, engineering shortages, and increased regulations made it inevitable. Here's something else that almost seemed inevitable. Last Thursday, the Federal Reserve launched its own Facebook page. The Fed said the idea was to increase the accessibility and availability of the Fed. What could go wrong? Well, even though the Fed Facebook page picked up almost 10,000 likes, hundreds upon hundreds of rants piled up over the weekend, and perhaps in the spirit of transparency, the Fed has allowed them to remain, at least for now. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com for live streaming and archived audio. Moneyradio.com, and the daily blog is eatthebankers.com. You'll find text, audio, author interviews, and a free podcast at eatthebankers.com. That's eatthebankers.com. Stick around. The review continues in just a moment.